The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, welcome back. So a pretty cool 48 hours. Our son, Hayden Joseph Noble, congratulations, buddy, got engaged to the love of his life, Macy, in San Francisco after a 17-mile all-day hike going around San Francisco. So I'll be headed out there. Well, the Noble family headed out there next spring, March or April, for a wedding in the San Francisco area. So that was big. That's huge, right? And then I get this text yesterday on Sunday at 2:14 p.m. Steve, do you have reach into South Carolina? I said, I'm at a great station in Greenville, and the stations in Charlotte carry into South Carolina, in the Rock Hill area and so on. Could you take the president tomorrow at 8 a.m. to talk about the South Carolina races? To which I was like, yeah, I can make that happen. So this morning, via Skype audio, I talked to former President Donald Trump. So we had a great conversation. That was cool. He was very casual. I'm going to play right. You're going to hear the Skype call coming in. All right. This morning, sitting here in the studio at 8:15 a.m. Eastern time. And I thought for sure it would be a handler of his, but it wasn't. It was him. So you'll hear the first few minutes of our conversation now, and then we'll hit the commercial break, and then the rest of our conversation talking about South Carolina, the November elections, primaries, what's going on with the state of the nation today. We went a lot of different places in a short period of time, so we'll just kick it off for you so you can hear. You're literally going to hear the first sound you're going to hear is the Skype call coming in, which again I thought would be a handler, but it wasn't. Are you ready in there, Josh? Okay, let's go. Good morning. This is Steve.
Hello, Steve. Donald Trump, how are you?
President Trump, good morning. I'm excellent, sir. How are you?
Good. I'm very good, Steve. Very good. What's going on?
It's great. Honor to have you on, just so you know a little bit about me. I actually had Laura and Eric were on a bunch of times leading up to the 2020 election. And then I had to put up with Hogan Gidley. And then, and then Rudy Giuliani.
Did you
called
like Hogan?
In. Yeah, Hogan was great. Actually, Dan Forrest here, our former lieutenant governor, is a very good friend of mine. So he introduced me to Hogan, and so Hogan was on a bunch.
Dan's a nice guy. We'll say hello to Dan too. That's great.
Yeah,
I will. Great. So when does your show on? When does it go on?
My show is on 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. So it'll be on later today. So I'll jump right in. I know you're super busy.
Okay.
And this is, of course, a birthday week for you. Happy birthday early, Mr. President.
It is. Thank you.
Let me ask you this question. What can the voters in South Carolina give President Trump for his birthday?
Well, I think some nice victories. We've had tremendous success in South Carolina. I won by a lot, I guess they would call that in political terms, to put it on slide. And I'm very much in favor of Katie Arrington beating Nancy Mace. Nancy Mace was not good, and Katie Arrington is a terrific person, very hard worker, and I'd like to see that. And I'd like to see Russell Fry take out Rice. Rice was bad news. Voted to impeach.
Yeah.
And most of those guys are either gone or soon to be gone. There were 10 of them. And I guess five are gone or six are gone, and the rest are fading fast. But Rice just out of the blue did this, and it was a terrible thing to do to the party and to the country.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that people of our own party have decided to politicize the impeachment process. And, of course, that's just in total contradiction to the purpose of that in the first place. Utterly ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Now, in South Carolina.
Over a perfect phone call.
In South Carolina, yeah, I know, it's just ridiculous. And more people are seeing that now, thank God. But in South Carolina, you know, we had the same problem in North Carolina where I live, and we cover northern South Carolina. Most people don't get engaged with the primary, Mr. President. So I would really like you to encourage people. A lot of people sit on the sidelines, and we'll just wait and see who's on the floor in November. But you're very engaged in the primary. You were engaged up here in North Carolina and had a couple of big wins with Ted Budd and Bo Hines. So why are you engaged, and why should we be engaged?
Well, you know, just for that reason, like Ted Budd is fantastic, but people didn't know him. And now what's happened is he's gone out and he's done a fantastic job and looks like he's going all the way. And, you know, it's very important to get involved early to get the right people in there. Even if you get two or three right people in there, and you know, like Katie Arrington is going to be really tremendous. And Nancy Mace was like impossible to deal with. And she represented a lot of things that we don't. I say we because it's a lot of voters. America First, MAGA, whatever you want to call it. But we don't. And so we'll see how it all goes. And I will say this, Russell Fry has done a fantastic job. He was popular to start off with, and I understand he's way up in the polls. And I hear Katie Arrington, they're just about even. And, you know, Fox puts the other one on all the time. And
yeah.
We'll see how it all turns out. But Katie is fantastic. I hope she gets in. I hope Russell Fry gets in. Those are two fantastic people.
And so that was just the beginning of our conversation. When we come back, I'll play the rest for you on the other side of the break. But he was, you know, he's been very involved in the primary season. And so for those of you down in South Carolina, he's talking about Katie Arrington, who's in South Carolina's first congressional district, running against the incumbent Nancy Mace. So these are all Republicans, all right, obviously. And then Russell Fry, who President Trump mentioned, he's in South Carolina's second congressional district. So Donald Trump backing Russell Fry, trying to take out Tom Rice, who's the incumbent. So Donald Trump, obviously, never afraid to go against the grain and never afraid to push even inside his own party. So that was the original reason for having our conversation this morning. And I knew we were going to have a little bit more time. So I wanted to expand the conversation to get his take on where America is at today, which we'll do on the other side of the break. You know, could you have imagined how fast and how far the country would fall in such a short period of time? And that was the question I asked him. So we talked about a lot of different issues on the national front. He went in a lot of different directions, as you would expect, and talking about the border and talking about energy, which he thinks is pretty much the number one issue, and issues with the people coming across the southern border, who's coming across the southern border. And then we talked about the energy situation and what's going on in D.C., what's at stake in November, trying to just stop the Biden administration. I baited him a little bit on 2024. He didn't take the bait. He gets that question all the time. But I didn't want to make that the big issue. And then the last question that I asked President Trump, former President Trump, is how we can pray for you. How can we pray for you, sir? And his answer was interesting. I didn't know where he would go with it. But I ultimately appreciate where he went with it. So this was this morning. I talked to President Donald Trump, who called me on Skype. That's when I answered. If you heard that, if you missed it, go listen to it on the replay, on the podcast, or on Facebook or YouTube Live. But I just answered it. Steve Noble. Hey, Steve, it's Donald Trump. That's how my morning started. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Jumping in quick here because I wanted to get back to my interview with President Donald Trump from earlier this morning. And then we were going from the South Carolina primary where he was backing Katie Arrington in the 1st Congressional District and Russell Fry in the 7th Congressional District, both trying to unseat the incumbents there. And then we broadened our conversation to talk about the nation in general. This is my conversation earlier today with President Donald Trump. Are you surprised at all, Mr. President? I'd like to think I am, but I'm not. As to how bad things have gotten in and not even 2 years after you left office with Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer going into November, we hear it all the time. This is the most important election we've ever seen, but this one feels like it actually is.
Well, it is. If for no other reason, it's a stopper. It would stop this country from going literally communist. I mean, what they're doing, the plans they've had, it's just incredible how they want to destroy our country. The open borders, you take a look at open borders, it's not even believable where you have 25,000 people now coming up in a caravan, and I think it's bigger than that. You take a look, it's just like it goes on forever, and they're just pouring into our country. We know nothing about these people. Many of them come out of prisons because they release their prisoners. I don't know if you know, but they release their prisoners, Steve, and they come right out of prisons, and they put them in these caravans, and they walk into our country, and these are serious criminals in many respects. So I'm surprised that it would be this bad. Nobody, look, could anybody have thought, anybody that said that they knew it was going to be this bad? I didn't like what they were doing with energy. I didn't like what they were doing with a lot of things, including the border. I thought it would be weaker, but, you know, we had the strongest border in history. Now we have the weakest border in history. But could anybody believe that you just let people come in? Millions and millions of people have already just poured into our country. And it's continuing at a level that nobody can believe. Can anybody believe that you would have done that with Afghanistan, with soldiers dead, with giving $85 billion worth of equipment to the Taliban? Can anybody believe that, that you leave the Americans behind, that the military leaves first? Our military left first. And it's just not believable. So, you know, anybody that would say, yeah, we thought this would happen.
Yeah.
I knew bad things would happen, but this is country threatening.
Yeah, and that's the concern, and you mentioned this, Mr. President, that this November is really about a stop. It's about cutting off Biden's ability, at least to a certain extent, to get anything done in Congress. They obviously aren't going to be able to get anything past his desk unless they compromise beyond the point that they should. But a stop at this point is important, and isn't it funny down in the southern border that the party, the Democrat Party, that likes to claim America is one of the worst countries in the world is defending the lack of border enforcement because we have so many people clamoring to get here, the country that they say is such a bad place.
Well, they're trying to make America one of the worst countries in the world. I mean, if they release prisoners from, you know, last week they had 129 countries represented.
Man.
This isn't just like Mexico and Guatemala. This is you know, many, many countries from all over, 129, I think, last week. They've had it up to 142 countries coming in. Most people have never even heard of these countries.
Right.
And they're just pouring into our country. And they're going to destroy our country. And I have been a good prognosticator, you have to admit. You know, they have all those things. Trump was right. I was right about energy. I was right about Afghanistan. I was right about virtually everything. I hate to say it. I don't want to sound braggadocious, but it's incredible. And the border is a disaster. What they've done to our military is like not even respected. What they've done to our military with all the woke stuff and everything else—it's a terrible thing happening to our country. Nobody could have thought it was going to be so bad, Steve.
That's right. And one of the things in the last 2 weeks that's been particularly disgusting to me as a Christian is the lack of the mainstream media or Biden or Pelosi getting engaged with the fact that one of our own Supreme Court justices was threatened, and they've done nothing about it. And even the protests out in front of the Supreme Court justices' houses are a federal violation of law, Mr. President. What do you say about that? It's just disgusting to me.
And then Schumer gets up and he rants and raves like he was the head of the mob, and nobody does anything about that. You know, they should have acted on that. Look, our country has got to change fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, it's big, big trouble. I say go out, well, in a very small way, Katie Arrington and Russell Fry. But you know, they stand for what we stand for. We have Republicans that don't even fight the way they should be fighting. You know, it's incredible. And you're right about Supreme Court justice. If this were a liberal justice or worse, and we have probably worse in all fairness, but if this were a liberal justice, it would have been front page news all over the place. They literally don't even talk about it. And since when are people allowed to protest? You know, that's called playing the ref. So they're playing the ref of Supreme Court justices. And it might very well have an impact. I mean, it may very well have. This is not supposed to be allowed for that reason. They're trying to convince these justices what to say, what to do. And you're just not allowed to do that, and nobody stops it.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It completely politicizes the third branch of government, which it never was supposed to be. It's supposed to be outside of political pressure.
If it were the other way around, if they went up and went to one of the other judges or justices, and when in front of their house, everybody would be in handcuffs in 2 minutes.
That's right. Do you think, Mr. President, that the country at this point, I know we both talked about stopping Biden and Pelosi and Schumer in November, but can it be turned around? I mean, I think people are experiencing despair, gas prices, so on and so forth, which, of course, everybody's asking you about 2024. But are you confident that we can actually turn this around?
It can be turned around. A big thing is energy. I think energy caused the inflation more than anything else. Because energy hits everything. Energy is so big, and it can be turned around. Very hard, though, when you know when you're allowing 20, 25 million people into the country by that time, and that's a big portion of the country. I mean, you're allowing, I don't know, the way it looks, more than 10% of the country is going to be people that came in and we don't know who they are, where they came. You know, it gets to be a lot harder to do these things. They should be stopping this. They should have been stopping it from day one. We had drugs way down. You know, the drugs are coming through. When you see those people coming through, the drugs are pouring through at a level that we've never seen before also, and poisoning our country. So the answer is yes, we can, you know, make America great again, I say.
Yeah.
You know, I say it, we had it so good. It was never as good as we had it. Never even close. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And now we have to start thinking about doing it all over again. What they've done to our country in a period of less than 2 years is unthinkable.
Yep. Yeah, truly unbelievable. Last question. I know you got to go. How can we pray for you, Mr. President?
Well, pray for the country. Just pray for the country, because I don't think our country has ever been at a lower point. We're not respected anymore. We have policy that has to destroy our country. It will destroy. Do you remember when I campaigned, I used to say we'll be the next Venezuela?
Yeah.
If we do these things, that's what's turning out. We're heading toward Venezuela status, large scale. Pray for the country.
Amen. Well, God bless you, Mr. President. I really appreciate your time today, and I look forward. I'll be in Nashville this Friday. You'll be at the Faith and Freedom Conference, so I look forward to seeing you there.
Oh, good, good, good. Look me up. See me, okay?
I'll do it. All right, thanks, that's Mr. President.
Good, Steve.
All right, pal.
Great
talk
show.
To you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. He's remarkably normal and approachable and just a genuinely nice person. Which was cool, and I'll do whatever I can, God willing, to try to talk to him in person this Friday in Nashville. So that was cool. Hopefully we'll have a chance to do that again. We'll be right back. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. What a great honor to be able to speak to President Donald Trump earlier today. That's the interview we just played. So hopefully I'll get a chance to do that again. And maybe I'll get to meet him face-to-face this Friday in Nashville. He's speaking at the Faith and Freedom Convention. I'm going there to do some radio on Radio Row and try to pick up some interviews. There's some great national players that are going to be there. So hopefully that'll happen. And we'll get a chance to have him on again. I'd love to have him on again once or twice before the November election, especially just to kind of get everybody pumped up here in North Carolina and South Carolina, Utah, Virginia, but mostly this is a North Carolina show. So if you're outside of the state, podcast, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, whatever, you're like, Steve, you talk about North Carolina a lot. Yes, that is my Jerusalem and Judea. So I used to be on in 12 states, and then we came back down and really focused on my backyard so that I could be more of an activist on the air for my great state here in North Carolina. So that's the deal. But looking at the Dow Jones Industrial, ouch, down 876 points. It was down over 800 points on Friday. That's about 1,700 points between Friday and today. This is earth-shattering, future-breaking, serious times financially, which is why in our conversation last week with David Fisher with Landmark Capital on a Full Money Monday, we wanted to kind of have a 30,000-foot conversation last week. We talked about the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset and the things going on a global level, which affect us here on a local level, no matter where you live, and wanted to follow up with that. So our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital back in the house today, landmarkgold.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing much better than the market, so yeah, there's a lot of turmoil going on.
Yeah, a lot of turmoil going on. All right, so you do a lot of radio, you do a lot of appearances. Have you ever had to follow the President of the United States before?
No, that would be a great honor, and my hat's off to you. I'll let you have that role, but I'll take the shadow and walk in your shadow someday if you want.
Yeah, it was great. He actually, when I answered the Skype call this morning at 8:15 local time, I'm like, hey, this is Steve. And he goes, hey, Steve, Donald Trump. I'm like, why are you calling me? Shouldn't it be some handler? It was really funny. But very approachable, nice, friendly guy. And that was great. That was an honor. And we just played that interview. But yeah, and he was talking about the state of the economy, which is a train wreck. Our buddy TJ Rendell sent me this earlier today. Each day, more than $1.5 billion of U.S. tax dollars goes towards interest. Interest on the debt, that number grows every day. That money doesn't go towards roads or bridges or streets or airports, the elderly, children, our schools. Each day we also add over $3 billion in new debt. It's a train wreck. So wherever you want to start, the Dow is just getting trashed. So I guess we can start there.
Yeah, it got trashed last Thursday. It was down 600 points. Friday was down 880. Today, like you said, closed 876. You know, that's almost a 2,000. That's just, well, that is 2,000 points off the top of my head, a little over 2,000 points. So, you know, we've had 10 out of 11 weeks where the Dow has been down, 9 out of 10 weeks where the S&P and the NASDAQ have been down. Here's some headline news. Stocks open with the fifth largest sell program in history. I mean, everything is being sold. Bonds, Bitcoin is being affected. I don't know if they're being sold, but because there's not a big sell-off in bullion, but bullion's down 2.75%. A gold index is what I'm referring to. So here's some titles. We're in a technical recession, but just don't realize it. Bank of America sees more shocks to come. Stanley Druckenmiller, I quoted him before. He says, warning of a bear market has way more to run amid 2023 recession. And Goldman Sachs sees the S&P 500 tumbling to 3150. That's another 20% from where we're at, and it's already down 21%.
Yeah. Yeah, real shocking. You mentioned crypto, like Ethereum and Bitcoin are together. They're both down about 50% in the last year. I mean, it's shocking.
Yeah, oil's up 59%. Gold is up. Spot gold is the index is up 2.4%. So I keep saying, here's what gold does as a diversifier. Not we're getting in the gold category yet, but you know, all these indexes are down, and usually when it's kind of like the teeter-totter, so that's why you know want to have some money in gold. But this is all coming because of the CPI number. The CPI number came out on Friday. Economists, major economists, a whole bunch of them from Bloomberg, Wall Street, Reuters, they all were polled, and majority sentiment was saying, hey, inflation is coming down. It was at 8.3% last month. It dropped from 8.5. They thought it was going to be under 8. Well, it went the opposite direction. It went up to 8.6%, and the markets were not expecting that.
Yeah.
But things are going to get more costly because oil is going to go up.
So is inflation the number one cause of this devastation we see going on in the markets?
Well, it's the Fed on what they might do, how aggressive they might become. It is part of the oil happenings out of Ukraine and Russia, and also the oil happening from Biden, his policies of, you know, trying to go green, shutting down oil permits, shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, shutting down fracking. When those all were open, we were oil independent. Oil was $70 a barrel. Now we're 120. Last 2 weeks ago, we were 118. And J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, saying we're going to 150, 175 here this year. So some of it's the Fed, some of it's the COVID aftermath, the supply chains in China. So it's not one thing, but it's a whole bunch of things that are all saying, I want to be first in line taking the news.
Yeah.
And they're all loud and very obnoxious, and that's what's affecting the markets.
So it really is a perfect storm. If we look back the last couple of years, David, and we're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, is this all part of the continual whipping down the train, the cars towards the back of the train as a result of what we did to ourselves, not just here in America, but around the world with the shutdowns and COVID reaction? It seems like we kind of set the bomb off and destroyed ourselves starting about 2 years ago.
Well, this destroying and setting the bomb off, it's been a long fuse. It started in 2009 with the Fed and their repercussions of printing tons and tons of money, buying a whole bunch of government debt, trillions of dollars at low interest rate environment that's artificial. So think of it this way. Bowling. I don't know when the last time you bowled. It's been 10 years for me, but everybody's bowled at some point. Remember those things that, you know, you have a gutter on the left side, gutter on the right side, and you have those things that they flip in when you're young and bowl?
Yeah, the little guardrail things that pop up. Yep.
Yeah. So the Fed put in guardrails. They accommodated so you wouldn't go in the gutter. They accommodated the government in some overspending. They accommodated the economy in stimulating it with low interest rates. They accommodated the stock market by doing this. They accommodated the real estate market, and they accommodated, and real estate went up at low rates, and gold went up during this environment because we were spending and printing too much.
Right.
Well, the Fed just took away the bumpers. And so we're going to go in the gutter, either the left side or the right side. The left side is inflation. The right side is the new word called stagflation. And that's the worst environment. And everything is indicating that's where we're going.
Yeah, and so I want to talk about stagflation on the other side of the break. But the Fed's meeting this Wednesday, right? Are they going to raise rates? And how much do you think they'll raise them? I'm thinking they're going up another half a point.
Well, they've been saying that they're going to raise rates in June and July a half a point. The market is pricing in 10 more rate hikes by the end of this year.
Whoa.
And so, yeah, that's a lot. Barclays Bank is coming out and saying there's a possibility of 75 basis points rate hike. Chief strategist Ira Jersey saying 75 basis points. Another person is saying 75 to 100, but they're saying that that's what they should do, but the Fed won't shock the market. I think we're going to have a 50-50, you know, June, July, and then September's not planned. We'll have one in September, a 50 or possibly 75, and they're going to get rates up a lot higher, but I think then they're going to pull back and do a whipsaw scenario where they're going to go totally opposite the other way. We'll get into that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's because we know that the fix is in. They've been trying to fix this game. You don't think of the Fed as just managing monetary policy. It's a political organization. And I think at this point, they're just running around trying to keep the whole thing from collapsing, having been drunk on themselves for so many years. And that's a great way of putting it. The guardrails have been up. So we've been playing bowling. We've been going to the bowling alley thinking we're doing just fine when we're not actually playing with reality. And then as soon as reality comes in and the guardrails go down, wow, you're in the gutter.
And that's the unfortunate thing of the Federal Reserve. Like TJ said, they're the fire department, the arsonists. Yeah, they might want to come and save us, but they're going to cause worse problems. Now they took away the guardrails. We don't know what it's like for 12 years plus, 14 years, to be in a normalcy of an environment, because we haven't had it. It's been altered. It's been it's almost demonized is what the Fed's done to the financial system. And so trying to get from where we're at to off this drug, we're having convulsions. That's what the market is going through. It's convolving. It's not doesn't like this. It's addicted to this, and that's why we're going to see more of this.
Yeah, just like somebody that's been addicted to drugs or alcohol, and they come down, they get the shakes. That's exactly what's going on now. David, I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to David Fisher. LandmarkGold.com is the website. A lot more to talk about. He's with us every Monday as we do Money Monday updates. Stagflation, inflation, the oil market, gold and silver. We're going to hit some scripture as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. Talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is their website, as always. And again, David, I appreciate you coming back for two segments this time. We were doing kind of a 30,000-foot conversation a week ago on a full Money Monday, especially talking about the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset. If you don't know anything about that, you should, because that's on the table. And as we look at the terrible financial challenges we're facing, that all kind of folds into the mindset of the folks at the World Economic Forum that want to literally reset every aspect of how life is done, not just here in America and in Europe, but around the world. So you got to pay attention to that. And then you overlay a biblical perspective. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You have to understand the overall trajectory of mankind until God comes back and initiates judgment. And then the final judgment, and then we're out of here, right? So you have to understand these things and not be fearful and try not to sell your peace down the river. But we live in the here and the now, and there's literally billions of people around the world that are affected by this. So we have to be engaged because we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. But it's great having you on, David.
Thank you so much. I think the scripture that we're talking about today, that's a perfect reset for what we're talking about. That is the whole, in essence, that's the gospel.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And usually on our Money Monday update, we would start with scripture. And I forgot to do that because I was just kind of whacked out from being able to talk to President Trump earlier today. So let's hit the pause button. We're going to come back and talk about stagflation and inflation and the oil market and gold and silver. But let's jump back to such a powerful passage of scripture in 1 John 3:16. Let's talk about that and then we'll move on.
Yes, not to be confused with John 3:16, right. But it's very similar. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. You know, Mondays are my bigger days, one of the biggest days of the week, because I've done as much as 4 national radio programs, and I do 3 because we've moved some things to Wednesday. I do Wednesdays also radio, and we're adding some more. But anyway, my company, all my guys know that pretty much my door's closed, and I'm researching, studying, reading, you know, somewhere between 40 to 60 articles. And one of my guys knocked on the door, says, hey, can I talk to you? And he got the look on his face. I said, absolutely. And so this is not about me, but, you know, I want to challenge all of us that hear my voice that sometimes we get interrupted and it's the best thing that could happen to us. So he was, without going into all details, I was able to minister to him, share with him. He's going through turmoil and trying to make some good decisions on what kind of people to have in his life so he creates healthiness in his life. And what I found out is, ironically, last week what I was just sharing out off the cuff, talking about life and its challenges and how we get through those, and sharing a scripture, it ministered to him, and he says, you know, that really changed my life. So sometimes when we get caught up in the busyness of life, one way of laying down our agenda our lives is being there for the person that really needs us.
Yeah, such a powerful point. That literally is the gospel with kind of a small g from a human perspective. That, you know, Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's the definition of love. But short of giving your quote-unquote life away, that's a great way of putting it, David. Your agenda, your time, your schedule. I don't have any time for that. Guess what? We have time for what we want to have time for. And so we tend to live based on our own priorities. We have to learn to prioritize other people more than we prioritize ourselves. And that's really the whole point of that scripture. Jesus was the perfect example of that. But what a great way, even there in the office on a busy day, that we can lay our lives down, your time, your schedule, your agenda, and sow into somebody else as Christ did for us. That's such a great point. Thanks for doing that, as always, on a Money Monday update. So inflation versus stagflation, help us to understand the difference.
So stagflation is the environment where prices are rising and cost of living is rising while your income is going down. That's in essence stagflation. Inflation is products are going up, but you're keeping up with it, and things just keep costing more, but your cost of living goes up too,
right.
Or your income goes up
your
with
income's
it.
Okay. Right.
So we're moving into this environment called stagflation. We've been in inflation, but now there's every indicator that show, or not every indicator, there are indicators that are showing we're moving into a stagflation environment, which is the absolute worst environment. It's worse than inflation. Robobank just came out and said there are just 2 solutions to this inflation shock. One is extremely painful, regular inflation. The other one is worse, stagflation. And last week, World Bank, which is the largest bank in the world, came out, the president, David Malpass, wrote an article, a report, that mentioned the word stagflation multiple times. And he is saying economic growth is expected to slow down. We're at the rate of 5.7% growth. Now we're at 2.9%. He's saying next year is going to go to 1.4, and the next year is going to be even worse. So they're calling for not just a mild recession or a recession, but he's calling for a stagflation environment. And he's saying we've several years we've been above the average inflationary level, but now we've had below average growth, and this is potentially destabilizing, causing this phenomenon called stagflation that the world has not seen since the 70s.
Yeah, just a shocking reality to consider as we go about our daily lives. But we need to make changes because these things are happening and it's only going to get worse. I'm just looking at, I wanted to talk about oil for a second, then we'll talk about gold and silver. I'm looking at from a one-year perspective, David. I go all the way back, and oil in the mid-60s, like $64 a gallon. Then now it's at 120, almost 121. So what's happening in the oil market?
So diesel is the highest it's ever been in the history of the world, almost $6. Wow. Whatever you haul, containers, cargo ships, trains, shipping trucks, they all use diesel for the most part. And that's what's being passed off to the food environment. Food is really high because cost of transportation is high, plus the cost of fertilizer, plus the cost of the tractor that uses diesel. It just goes on and on. And so, you know, the world needs oil. The world uses oil. And I don't want to make this political, but unfortunately, our president, he's mandating just the wrong thing. He just recently mandated more ethanol and gasoline. And that's saying produce more corn that's at all-time highs, so we can put that in gasoline to bring the price of gasoline. It doesn't even make financial sense. No. So we're just not doing anything that needs to be done to bring the price of oil down. And that's why all these analysts who are apolitical are saying this has nothing, where there's nothing in the future that's going to bring oil down. In fact, it's going to get worse. So just buckle your belts. Restaurants are applying inflationary fees because of this. Now, look at your bill when you go out to dinner. Everybody's hearing my voice. Yeah. They're signing things called an appreciation, kitchen appreciation fee, a fuel charge fee, or a non-cash adjustment fee. According to the Wall Street Journal, it's starting to happen already in restaurants, anywhere from 3% to 17.5% on top of your food bill, on top of your tip, on top of the taxes. It's right there. So start looking for it. You might want to ask the person that sits you if that is part of the restaurant's policy.
Yeah, or you can go to the grocery store where there's a diminishing amount of food and buy your food and stay home. I haven't seen anything in my lifetime, especially as an adult, because stagflation goes back to the Carter years when I was like 10. So this is the reality. We need to be praying into this, by the way, everybody, not just talking about these things and educating ourselves. We need to be praying into this for wisdom and discernment and for God's grace on our nation and on us as individuals. What about gold and silver?
So gold is doing exactly what it should be doing. It's not booming because we're not in a booming economic time, but it is flat to slightly up this year, while everything else is almost all the way down except for oil. So this goes hand in hand with Axel Merck, who's the president of Merck Investments. He said gold is the asset you want to have, and it is a stabilizer to your portfolio. When we're in a mess like this, in erratic policies, you need to have some good diversification tools, and gold is that in your portfolio. He's not the only one talking. David Einhorn, a billionaire, he says that the price of gold is going to go much higher, ultimately, as the Federal Reserve fails to control inflation. Maybe we'll talk next week about what they're going to do. It's going to be the worst environment I think we'll ever be in. It's called a hard landing. We don't have time to talk about that. But Einhorn is also saying that there's this growing sentiment of de-dollarization, countries, central banks not using the dollar. When they get to this environment, they go to gold. So you're going to see a big movement towards the world buying gold, the biggest central banks. And silver is going to play a big role in solar. So we're going to probably see some prices increases. Unfortunately, we haven't seen that today, but you're going to see some big movement, I think, in gold and silver. It's not something that's going to get rich quick, but it's something that you should have as a financial insurance policy in your portfolio.
Yeah, well, I mentioned a couple of 12-month charts when I was looking at oil, and I was looking at stocks, and I was looking at the NASDAQ, and then you look at gold, and it's like a nice steady flow across as opposed to this big down, 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 down. If people want to get more information and get educated for themselves, David, how do they get a hold of you?
Simple. 844-604-2575. Call us. 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com.
All right. Excellent. God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much for your time. We'll definitely talk to you again next Monday. All right.
God bless you. Congratulations on your interview with President Trump.
Thanks, pal. Have a great week. We'll talk to you real soon. That was David Fisher, LandmarkGold.com. Back tomorrow talking about my experience at a gay pride event on Saturday. I want to talk to you about that. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.